Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Barbecue Nation. I'm your host, JT. That's a little Free in the background with Paul Rogers from Bad Company, if you know your rock and roll history. Well, we've got a brand new show here on our host station, KXL, and also on the Radio Northwest Network. It is Barbecue Nation. For those of you who don't know me, you might recognize the initials from the Cowboy Cook on television, and that's who I am. Jeff Tracy's my real name. I'm only going to say that once. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this show over the next few months as we kind of craft a new way to look at grilling outside and cooking outdoors and not only barbecuing, but doing a lot of fun things. My first guest is a good friend of mine, Brent Huddleston. Brent is a professional meat cutter, and I thought we would start these shows right from the ground up, so to speak. How are you?
Good.
Brent has worked with me on many a catering job over the years, and he works with me on television, and I couldn't think of a better person to kind of go over some basics. Because I don't know where the other shows have left off, we're going to start at the beginning, but we're going to move pretty fast through the 101 stuff here. So, Brent, when people come into the store and you're behind the meat counter, what's one of the things that they have a misconception about when they're coming to buy, say, a brisket?
A brisket. Well, you know, how long is it going to take? Is it going to be tough? You know, those are the main questions I get. And, you know, I just tell them my couple keys for doing a brisket. You know, you want some fat on it. So get a good cap of fat on that guy. And, you know, just let him go low and slow for about 12 hours. And they kind of don't understand. They think it's something they can just throw on the grill and go right away, and that's something you need a little time, a little patience to do, and you know you'll enjoy the rewards of it.
Okay, so let's talk about the quality of the meats. There's obviously very stringent standards set out by the USDA as
yes.
far as they grade the meats. You know, prime, choice, select, all those things. But when people look at that, can you kind of coax them to better cuts of meat? Now I know money's an issue. It's
yes.
always an issue with everybody. But when they're looking to do something on the grill or in the kitchen, my recommendation has always been do absolutely the best you can with the best you can afford. And so I know at Christmas time, I don't want to get off the tracks here, but at Christmas time, people, you know, even your store, they'll have a loss leader as far as a rib roast out there, and then they have the really good ones. And the loss leader may sell for $4.99 a pound. The really good ones are going to sell for $13.99 a pound, whatever the price is. So on barbecuing and grilling meats, same thing apply?
Obviously, you want to go with a better quality of meat always. Then after that, it kind of relies on your patience and mm-hmm. the seasonings you use. A better quality is your top quality is prime. Then it drops down to a choice, then select. And then after that, we don't really consider it.
That's institutional food
institutional
there.
Institutional food,
yeah.
Yes. You know, but you wanna go for at least a choice grade on most of your product. Understand that money is tight with a lot of people. So that's when you come into your seasonings. And you can season up an okay piece of meat, say a select choice or select grade of meat, and you can still turn out pretty nice, again, if you have the patience and the proper seasonings.
Yeah, we've had to do that on a couple of our catering jobs
yes.
over the years. We didn't get what we ordered, and we were out there with hammers kind of you know, softening it up.
Making do,
yes. When a person comes into the store and they ask you for a steak, and you can tell they're not, and I no pun intended, they're not seasoned barbecuers. They're not seasoned grillers. They may have a grill on their back porch, but they may only use it 4 or 5 times a year, and sometimes they're a little intimidated by it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when somebody comes in and says, I want a steak, my recommendation has always been, I love ribeyes, and I love New York's. And how do you guide them as a professional meat cutter to get them something that they'll be happy with, but yet they won't get hurt or they won't damage the product, too, when they're cooking it, unless they dump gas on it?
Yeah. Well, you know, the first question is money. You know, is money an object? I mean, or how much of an object it is. And then you go straight to the top cut, which is your tenderloin. But, you know, you can get a really nice steak with your ribeye or your New York on a grill. Somebody who's just really scared about burning it or ruining it, sometimes I'll suggest them to a top sirloin, which is a doesn't have quite as much marbling in it. But you can still have a very nice steak with a top sirloin. And also it's very, use it for variable things, you know, so stir fry or whatever. But yeah, that's a lot of questions. Or some of the questions I get are, you know, I'm a vegetarian, but my husband is not, and I want to pick out a nice steak, you know. So you always tend to go with a nice New York with that. Pick them out a nice one and just reassure them that their husband will be very pleased with that.
You know, I'm a secondhand vegetarian myself because mammals eat grass and then I eat mammals. So that works out pretty good.
So technically you're having a salad with every meal.
I'm having a salad with every meal and I don't have to worry about
yeah.
it. Yeah. Do you go as far as like pointing out the marbling and the meat?
I think the marbling is crucial. Yeah. You know, I've even had some people ask me to pick that out and your cart just kind of stops there.
Yeah.
And but that marbling, the little flecks of white in the meat, that just melts right back into the steak itself and just creates more of a flavor. And that's when, you know, later we'll come into talking about resting your meat and what have you. That's where that comes into play.
Well, let's go back to the briskets and even tri-tips, which are, you know, my favorites. We cook those a lot. The size of the meat, it can be intimidating to people. And like you said, you know, that it's a slow process to actually do it properly, season it. I've seen people try to throw it on the grill and come back in 2 hours and you're eating Reeboks,
yes.
You know, at that point in time. So how do you buffer if they think they know how to cook it and then they really don't because you can tell by the way they're talking? How do you deal with that?
You know, that's one where you just kind of, so how do you plan on cooking this again?
Yeah.
Let me offer a suggestion or two, you know, and because a lot of your meat cutters, we have dabbled, you know, you can't sell a product if you don't know how it performs under situations.
So under duress.
Yeah. We cook quite a bit. A lot of your meat cutters do throughout the Portland area, I'm sure. And this being such a great barbecue area, regardless of the weather. You know, you just offer your suggestions and your pitfalls.
Speaking of pitfalls, I've seen over the years when I've worked with people and they've, you know, because of being on TV and stuff, they'll come and talk to you and say, you know, how do I cook this? I think the biggest thing that happens is people overcook it.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller pieces of meat, you know, again, tri-tips and briskets. Those are different, but even if they're doing a burger, you know, you see them pressing down with the spatula and all the juices and the grease and stuff is coming out and you just want to go, stop it.
I'm yes.
Smack you because you're ruining it.
Yeah.
You have those experiences?
Yeah, I've had those experiences with, say customers, like, somebody came back and said, oh, that hamburger was horrible. It caught my grill on fire. Well, yeah, were you pressing the burger down? Well, yeah, that's what you do. No, don't do that. You know, just let that fat go back into the burger, and you're going to have one of the most juiciest burgers you've ever had. Otherwise, it's going to be a dry piece of dirt is basically what it's going to be. And
yeah, in fact, I saw a guy the other day on one of the cooking shows. It was a challenge, and he was giving his student. It was a teacher-student challenge amongst three of them. And Bobby Flay, who we were going to talk about a little later in the show, he didn't do so well in this. Anyway, he was saying, if you roll that meat or press it down one more time, he said, you know, I'm gonna throw water on the grill or something just so you lose. So anyway, it was pretty good. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more of Barbecue Nation and our guest, Brent Huddleston, in just a couple minutes. Do not go away. To the Barbecue Nation with JT, that would be me, right here on News Radio KXL and serving the Radio Northwest Network. I wanted to say, if you're down at the coast and listening to us on KWRO in Coos Bay, or maybe even KFLS, in Klamath Falls, you've got a barbecue competition coming up next weekend on the 7th. That would be Fire It Up in Florence. And they got $5,000 prize money on that baby, so you can look that up down there. That's kind of cool. So thanks to our affiliates down the line, and get out there and do some cooking, grilling. Don't burn it. That's the only thing I can say, don't burn it. We're in the studio this afternoon with my guest, Brent Huddleston, and I've known Brent for a long time. We've worked on many occasion together, probably one of the better meat cutters that I know. In fact, he's the only meat cutter I know right now. But he works really good. You work at Market of Choice.
Yeah. That narrowed down the competition, huh?
That narrowed down the competition, yes, it did. And one of the things I like about the genre of Market of Choice and some of these other higher-end markets is you do use or provide higher cuts, higher qualities of meat, higher grades of meat for your consumers there. I'm a little reticent at times to go in some of the major chains. If you're looking for, a sirloin for a party, you might be getting an old dairy cow. So, and it's not that the only thing we do is cook beef around here, but I appreciate that about you guys there. And let's switch gears a little bit, Brent. Real quickly, we spoke about tri-tip in the first segment. First time I came across tri-tip was actually in Brazil 20-odd years ago, and I came home and I went to a couple of local butchers, and they had never heard of it. They mm-hmm. didn't know what it was. And then over a period of time, tri-tip started showing up in the markets here. I think it's one of the best cuts of meat that you can serve at a barbecue and a gathering. It's very tender. It's easy to fix. It doesn't take that long to do it versus a brisket. You see, I'd rather some of the jobs we've worked on together, I would rather cook 20 tri-tips, and that takes us an hour, basically, yeah, versus laboring around with a brisket. Now, for those of you who are diehard brisket fanatics, no insult intended there. It's a great piece of meat, and it's great for barbecue, and I understand that. But I'm talking about when you're having people on the patio in the afternoon, friends over or something, I would rather do tri-tips. Would you please explain to our audience where the tri-tip comes from in the cow, so to speak, or in the steer, and why is it so juicy and tender?
Well, it comes from the back quarter end, so about around the round area underneath, mm-hmm. Near the stomach area. It's a bottom sirloin is the correct name for it. So it still carries that sirloin name. So you have the tenderness of the sirloin. Wow, it's just a good flavorful piece of meat that holds its fat. It's good to cook it with a little bit of fat on it. Sometimes we'll trim it a little too close. But, you're also going off of appearance with that, too. You're still going to get a nice roast with that. But, you cook it to a nice 135 degrees, and it's going to come off just beautifully medium rare, and serve it as a steak, serve it as a sandwich, do whatever with it. It's just very versatile, and and packs a lot of flavor.
I can just put it on a stick and walk around eating it.
Yeah, I've seen that.
How to cut it. You're always giving me the dickens about because I cut it wrong. And I do it mostly to irritate you. But
yes,
what's the proper way to cut a tri-tip?
Well, cutting it against the grain is always your best result. It's going to shorten those muscle fibers up and be an easier product to chew. If you cut it with the grain, it's going to be like eating a bunch of garden hoses strapped together. You know, it's just going to chew and chew and chew.
Okay. Switch gears now. They cook other things besides beef. Ribs is obviously huge in the barbecue world,
mm-hmm.
but so is chicken and fish. I know fish and especially seafood is your favorite, but
yeah.
When somebody comes in and says, you know, I've got people coming over and I want to do barbecue chicken for
mm-hmm.
people, what should people be looking for in those nice fat fryers, so to speak?
Oh, just, you know, as far as that goes, just look for the size that is going to accommodate you and your family or your guests. You know, a few tips you might do is I've always had good success cooking whole chickens. You get more of a flavor. They don't tend to dry out as easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask your butcher to spatchcock that, which means take the back out and crack the chest bone and put it on there flat, and it'll cook pretty quick, and it's going to stay really nice and moist.
Now, what? Say that again, the word.
Spatchcock.
Okay.
It's taking the back out of the chicken, but you're leaving everything else intact.
That's so a Julia Child's deal there.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And also, you know, cutting chickens in half are great for doing. It's the same concept for those who don't want to eat a whole chicken by themselves.
I've had great luck using Cornish game hens, which
mm-hmm.
is a nice way of saying baby chicken.
Yeah.
And cut those in half. And those portions, you know, it doesn't take long to grill both sides of them.
No.
And you can put a nice finish on them however you want to do it, with a sauce or a glaze or whatever. And those work out really well. I look for that the skin has not been kind of torn away from the body too much.
Yeah.
For presentation.
You also kind of want to stay away from, sometimes you'll see chicken has a real yellow tint to it.
No good.
Not that it's no good. It's just they've been eating a lot of corn, you know, and that transfers over into their skin.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to look for something with a nice, clean looking skin to it.
You don't like corn?
I love corn, but I like it on the cob.
Oh, okay. So you can have corn-fed beef, but not corn-fed chicken.
Well, you know, sure.
Why not? You don't like the yellow? Okay. We're going to take a break again here on Barbecue Nation. I am your host, JT. We're going to be back with my guest, Brent Huddleston. We're going to talk about some more fun stuff after these messages. Barbecue Nation with JT. Hitman's got us rocking today here on the show. I'm liking this a lot. A little bit of food news for you. I had to find a couple of fun things. Hormel Foods, the purveyors of our favorite canned meat in the world, Spam. They paid $775 million to buy the organic processed meat maker Applegate Farms. I wonder how those Spammers over there are going to do with the organic guys. I wonder if that's actually going to
organic Spam.
They have organic Spam. The people in Hawaii are going to just go crazy about this, you know, because Hawaii, the number one food in Hawaii is Spam. And if you were ever in the military and the Navy, especially, you know, it was Spam, blah, blah, blah. But the people there at Hormel have said that a growing number of consumers are choosing natural and organic products. So they bought them. They just bought them out, and that's what they're going to do. Okay. A couple other little things here. The FDA is doing some fun stuff with cutting trans fats out of foods, especially restaurants and food producers. You know, they started this in McDonald's and they changed the oil and all that stuff. But seems that the FDA now may create some limited exemptions, but really they're going after all food producers and major restaurant chains that they can cut the trans fat use to reduce it by 85%. That's the deal. They want a slimmer America. And that's what they're doing there. So make your own choices on that, I guess. You know, rub your trans fats on you before you go to work in the morning or something. Food stars, Bobby Flay, and I don't know how you pronounce her name. Is it Giada? Giada De Laurentiis. Yeah. Well, she's from the movie family and all the stuff.
Yes.
They're not dating. They're not dating. Their rep says.
Well, neither is Giada and I.
Well, I know you're not. But. But Radar Online said that the celebrity chef, Bobby Flay, and Miss De Laurentiis, who are both in the process of getting divorced, and, you know, Bobby Flay was married to Stephanie March, okay, who was on Law & Order, SUV, and VUC, and all those 17 different versions of it as a prosecutor. And my question to Bobby Flay is, are you nuts? Anyway, but he can't date her. He's got to pay off his horse racing bookies first. And in other news, finally, they now have robot taste testers. Did you know this? This comes out of the Arizona Sun.
Wow.
There are machines now designed, this is true, that are mimicking a human sense of taste. And you know what they're tasting? Beer.
Oh, come on.
No, they are tasting beer. This is... Anheuser-Busch is doing this over in Spain, and they've developed this thing because the human testers can't keep up, you know, because there is an end result when you taste too much beer, obviously. But the machines don't get hammered. They just kind of make it through there.
Isn't that the purpose?
Yeah, and they can test the alcoholic strength. They taste the color. They taste, the, you know, the hop percentage. They've got all this thing wired, and that's very true. And finally, one last thing in the food news. Over in the UK, Nestle's, our friends at Nestle's, have changed the name of the Kit Kat bar, and it's caused quite an uproar. They've changed it to YouTube Break. So if you're watching YouTube all day and you need a break, you eat that candy bar. It used to be called Kit Kat, but I guess some of the people got really ticked off about it.
Maybe sponsorships there.
There's stuff there's stuff going on there. So anyway, that's your food news here on the Barbecue Nation. We're sitting with my guest, Brent Huddleston, who's a professional meat cutter, professional barbecuer, good guy. If I can just get him a date, if anybody's looking out there, female persuasion, he needs that. Let's go back to talking about specific things and grilling. Seafood. We live in a seafood-rich environment here in the Pacific Northwest. Salmon, you know, halibut, whatever you want. You can just, usually, you know, go to the store, and it's usually there. Recommendations. I'll tell you one of the things that I do. When I get a salmon fillet to cook, I cook it skin side down. I do not put mayonnaise on it. it just drives me crazy when I see people slathering a great piece of fish like that with a bunch of mayonnaise and goop.
The old Alaskan recipe.
Yeah. I worked as a deckhand for a couple of summers for my uncle down at the Washington coast. He was a charter fishing boat owner. Of course, we'd get in early in the afternoons, and they'd have a barbecue, and he always have salmon steaks. Never made fillets. I don't know why, but he always did steaks because it's just easier to cut them that way. And he'd always put this mayonnaise stuff on it. It didn't taste bad, but it just, like, you never tasted the fish. So, anyway, that's what I do. I just, you know, fillet, skin side down, cook it, put whatever you want on it, seasoning, I put a little orange orange squeezings on it once in a while, something like that.
You don't want to cover up the integrity of the product you're cooking.
No. So what do you do?
Oh, you know, a lot of people, they come in and ask, you know, you want to make sure that your quality of fish, you know, it doesn't smell fishy.
Yes.
But the other day I did some salmon, just a little bit of salad dressing on it. You know, you pick your favorite flavor of salad dressing. Makes great marinades for things like that. But I season it with a little bit of salt and pepper, put it on a piece of foil, put it on the grill, skin side down, and then about halfway I took it off the foil and turned it over and put it on the grill and finished cooking it. Salmon doesn't take long to cook on the grill.
Mm-mm.
And then just brushed it with a little bit of that salad dressing in it. Wow. Turned out great.
Yeah, you can just, when you see the kind of the milky.
Yeah, that opaque
look, fluid coming out of the meat of the salmon. Yeah. That's it. You're close.
Yeah.
You're real close there.
Yeah, and also I'm a big fan of just, I know this might sound a little gross, just touching your salmon with your finger. You know, if it still has a little bit of a cushion there, you need to leave it on a little bit longer.
Yeah. No, I mean, and it's great. It's great seafood. So when people are in the markets looking around for a piece, you know, and I don't have to explain this to people who are listening today, the difference, you know, between, you know, Chinook and Silvers and Springers and all that stuff. What's your favorite?
Well, you know, that King Salmon has a lot of omega-3s in it.
Yeah.
But we sell a lot of sockeye salmon. You know, it cooks fast. You still got a great flavor. It's a great product.
So it's pretty.
It's very pretty. Yeah, it looks great on a plank.
Yeah.
So yeah, the sockeye is very good too. You'd be cutting hairs between that guy and the king, I think. It just depends on how strong you want your salmon to actually be. You're gonna get less of that omega-3, less of a stronger taste with your sockeye. Steelhead also is very good on the grill.
Sure. We haven't touched on ribs yet, and of course, beef or pork, so let's go with pork because we haven't really talked about pork. People are coming in to look for pork. Start something simple, chops. What should they look for? How thick do you want them?
You know, we like to cut ours thick at the shop. You know, so right about a good inch and a half on a nice thick, preferably bone-in pork chop, you know, get that flavor going. But boneless does well too. You want to look, again, with pork, there is marbling. Not a lot of people realize that. But you want to look for a nice group of marbling, I guess you'd want to say, in the pork. You know, and a nice pinkish skin-colored look to it. Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, if you want to smell it, bring it out, smell it. But, yeah, take a look at it, and you can see what looks good. You know, your eyes don't lie to you.
I think one of the things people need to look for, excuse me, is when they're in the store, like you said, looking for the pink. If your pork's starting to look a little gray, in the package on the shelf or even in the cold case there, it's not that it's bad particularly, because they'll pull it if it's past the date and all that stuff. But it probably does not have the marbling and the fat and the flavor. Because one of the things that I found when people are grilling pork, it dries out really fast if you're not careful.
Yeah. I think that comes from a long time of people assuming that pork needs to be grilled at 185 degrees, you know, which you're overcooking it.
Yes. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back and wrap up this week's show. And more surprises, I promise. Barbecue Nation, right back. Nation, I'm JT. I was so sad when Ann Wilson got married. I mean, I've been married for 25 years and very happy with that. But, you know, there's always that little thing you got out in your head like Ann Wilson. First time I saw her, I was in college at Oregon State. best rock and roll female voice out there.
Yeah,
and I'll argue that with anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Real quick here, and the show continues, we're going to have a little segment called Grilling at the Green, because I'm a big golf nut, and I happen to like helping, benefits type thing. This will be the fifth year I've worked with this. It's the Portland G-Man Shootout, and it's coming up September 1st at the Reserve Vineyards. Benefits the FBIs for the wives and children or husbands of agents that died in the line of duty. And what this scholarship fund does is it pays. It gives them full rides. A lot of them have kids of, whose fathers perished in the line of duty, have gotten a chance to go on to college, which they wouldn't have normally. And it's a great thing. And I've been supporting this and playing in it and helping them with sponsorships and stuff. So it's the 10th annual Portland G-Man Shootout. And I will be giving you some more information on that as the summer goes on. It's not very expensive to play in, and you get a barbecue lunch. You do all the, kind of typical things of those types of tournaments. But it is it's a great thing, is what I think. This is our lightning round, Brent. You're going to love this. We've got about 10 questions here. You can
looking forward to it.
Yeah. These are for you specifically, okay? This is in the hot seat. Ready? You just kind of say yes there.
Yes.
Okay. Beef, pork, or chicken to grill, your favorite?
Beef.
Okay. Gas, pellets, charcoal, or wood as a fuel source?
Oh. I'm a big fan of pellets.
Why?
It's just what I've been grilling on for a while. But, I'm not going to disregard any of the others.
Okay. What do you consider aged beef? 1 week? 1 month? 2 months? 5 years?
I would go with 1 month.
Okay. And, hung properly, cooled,
hung
trimmed.
Hung properly, cooled, trimmed, yeah.
Okay. Okay. What's your favorite cut of meat?
I like a ribeye. I'm a sucker for a ribeye.
Okay. How did you get the nickname Sausage King?
Well, you gave that to me. For a lot of years with Market of Choice, as a meat cutter, you learn to do sausages, make sausage links. And we make all of our own sausages. They're all natural. And quite honestly, we do a great job. And generally when you give me a call, I'm working on sausage.
You're working on sausage. Okay. Marinade or no marinade?
Depends on the cut.
Okay. Example.
With anything that's a New York or higher in a steak quality, your ribeyes, your tenderloins, I'm a traditionalist. I like a little bit of what I call the Holy Trinity of barbecue, and that's garlic, salt, and pepper.
There you go.
Anything less than that needs to have a marinade to break down those muscle fibers.
With booze or without booze?
In the marinade or in me?
In the marinade.
It depends on what I'm making. I've made a lot of nice things with some whiskey and some bourbon, some nice marinades. There's a few that I've seen on the internet running around with that apple cider that sounds really interesting to make.
Real quickly, I'm not a marinade fan all the time. I mean, I don't mind it in the glaze or the sauce.
Yeah.
If you're gonna put like booze in there and stuff, because I drink rarely, but I do drink. But I think a lot of times the alcohol will cover up the flavor of the meats. Okay.
Yeah.
We did booze or with or boxers or briefs.
Boxers.
Okay. What does your best day contain for activities?
Hockey.
Hockey? Your worst day?
Oh, hockey.
Okay. Your best advice for backyard grillers?
Oh, wow. Backyard grillers. Let's see. My best advice for you is to, pay attention. Don't walk away from your product, but don't keep checking on it either. Don't keep opening up that lid.
Try to build up that confidence.
Build up that confidence.
I think that's great advice. Well, we're almost out of here for the day. We're about out of time. The Hitman tells me we're just about done. So we will be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media in association with JTSD Productions. All right, reserve, copyright 215. I got to say all this stuff, I guess. Barbecue Nation is produced by Court the Hitman Johnson right there. Research done by Dogbone Lee Larson. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Until then, keep your hands out of the fire. Please do that. We will see you next week.